I represent the Asian American Health Coalition here. I'm the CEO at a community health center, but the community health center has an umbrella organization, which is the Asian American Health Coalition. And a little bit of an overview on the importance of Houston, and I think there was a little booklet that I think some people already grabbed on what and why Houston has been and become so important in the representing the Asian community in the face of the changing face of the United States. We are a very diverse community. Every city is getting more and more diverse, and Houston, especially Harris County, has been declared the most diverse city in the country. So I think that's just kind of a example of the importance of really understanding diversity. So 20% of our community is actually Chinese and has no health insurance, and the 30% of the Vietnamese population as well. So definitely lack of access, a very important issue in our community. This is a little bit of a breakdown on the diversity that we have in Houston, so you get an idea that there's huge numbers of very diverse groups. So a little bit about the Asian American Health Coalition and Hope Clinic. The Asian American Health Coalition is celebrating their 20th anniversary in a couple of weeks. So and I have here one of our founders, actually, Lin Nguyen. And the coalition, like many of the coalitions over the around the country, was formed out of the initiative of trying to educate and provide healthcare education in language and culturally appropriate manners to the community. Of course, when you educate communities, what you find out is that they need services. You know, now they want something, and I think and that's how Hope Clinic got created in 2002 as a half a day a month clinic out of the Chinese Community Center. So now we, of course, say we're out of the closet. We have our own place. And in 2005, Katrina happened in Houston. Who knew? There were 15,000 evacuees that came from Louisiana, from where you are standing right now, to Houston, and were not able to get care because the city was ill-prepared and had no language capacity. The Vietnamese community there responded by housing those 15,000 evacuees in a supermarket called Hong Kong Mall, and Boat People SOS and Hope Clinic teamed up to provide care and social services to this 15,000 evacuees. We got support from Kaiser Permanente in California, who sent volunteers, and well and behold, we provided care to almost 9,000 visits out of those 15,000. And that put the need of the community basically on the map, and Hope Clinic opened its doors as a full clinic in 2007, and we became an FQHC in 2012. So we're fairly new. Oops. Okay. So what are the challenges? Of course, serving such a diverse community like that, naturally the languages, the cultures, the low literacy rates in very new immigrant communities. Yes, data. You know, we're always fighting for data, and the availability of appropriate educational materials. Keep going back. Okay. So how did we address our challenges? In 2008, we got a grant from the Kellogg Foundation to kind of create a collaborative and a coalition building group. There were five organizations that joined, and there's an African proverb that say, you know, if you want to go long, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. And that's basically, it's a lot of work to collaborate. And there was just five organizations, and we got together, and we basically rallied around one issue, which was hepatitis B. Huge incidence in Asian communities in Houston, 12% incidence rate. And we had, when we opened the doors at the clinic, we had a waiting list of 80 people that actually wanted immunizations and had been in the waiting list for 6 months and were not able to get the shots. So the first thing we did is really address the immunizations, but that brought some a platform around which to rally around. And these five organizations addressed some educational issues around hepatitis B. They also addressed the need for for a strategic plan on how to address this issue and the messaging. And the five organizations represented different groups. We had a Chinese organization and Asia, Vietnamese. We had our clinical and couple social services agencies. Needless to say, that group to now has grown to 29 organizations. And we have rallied around different issues over time. Our strategy is, you know, the groups meet every month. We have tackled hepatitis B in a very comprehensive way. We have created one message. We meet so that we don't replicate and compete at the same time with different programming. We don't have health fairs at the same time. You know, we create materials that can be shared. And we go to the community with one voice. If everybody needs to get immunized, well, everybody needs to get immunized. Not A needs to get immunized, B maybe should get immunized. We drafted one whole message so that to not create any confusion within the community. And so, what can I say? You know, everybody hates meetings, but we can't do anything without meetings. And the meetings have been very instrumental to building relationships. So if nothing, you know, other than sharing our calendar of events, a lot of relationships have been built, and thus the strength of the collaborative work. So in this grant, we had five initial organizations. And we ended up adding more. By the year number three, we had 19 organizations with us. So we started by pretty much just coordinating activities, making sure we don't duplicate efforts. Then we creating one message, you know, and then we added one new layer to this mix, and it was measuring the impact of what we were doing. So how fruitful were all these meetings and meetings and meetings? Where did we go with those meetings? And we taught these organizations how to measure the impact. We taught very simple things as pre-test and post-test, you know, gathering information and data, centralized ways of collecting the data, and then measuring the outcomes in terms of health outcomes. So over the years, we added different layers on how to be accountable for the information that you're getting and then how to use it. We measured just simple impacts on the activities we have done to more sophisticated things on more larger community impact issues. And then reporting and celebrating the successes and that we accomplished, and of course, you know, collecting the data from all 29 organizations to be able to grant them out so that they can write grants or they can use that data for funding, which is of course very important. Creating that infrastructure not only raised the created data for organization but it actually strengthened other organizations. And we've seen, you know, organizations that joined us early on as just volunteer organizations become fully funded and independent and now running and replicating programs on their own. And I think it's very hard for our communities, being so diverse, to be able to accomplish anything alone. That we need the diversity and the strength of other organizations. In particular, in the Asian community, I'm Hispanic, as everybody can tell, and in for the Hispanic community, we all speak Spanish. You know, there are diversity in the different culture, in the different regional cultures, Central Americans, South Americans, Europeans, but there's not the diversity and differences that there are in the Asian community. And for me to come to a community which is not really my own and be able to, as an outsider, observe these differences and try to leverage their commonalities around issues and disparities that are unique to them was a very important strategy for them, because every community has their own interests. But finding a common interest to all of them makes them stronger, because you're putting a red thread by which they can become stronger to be able to address their individual interests and leverage their friendship with these newfound groups to leverage their own interests. So we are only as strong as everybody else, and we are so pleased to see organizations in our community become incredibly strong, and therefore see our own organization become very strong. How does this impact the overall health of the community is very interesting. It impacts because in the continuity of care, for example. So we, of course, are a primary care provider. We provide primary care. But then there is the social services that are provided by other agencies that we can't meet the needs of all the patients, but we can certainly call on our colleagues to, you know, work in the social areas, the support areas on, let's say, cancer support groups or for chronic illness people, faith-based organizations that will go to the patients' homes. So we have been able to leverage all our organizations in creating a continuity of care for our patients, in addition to addressing the from the public health aspect, the disparities in our communities. Maximizing funding and resources, we write a lot of collaborative grants. We include each other in the grants that we do. Sometimes we do compete for the same grants. We do it collaboratively. We add different aspects of the grant. We communicate. And the community has been very successful in receiving grants that would have been competitive in nature and have been made collaborative in nature, and that has been very interesting, because now, you know, it was usually just us at the funders meeting. Now you see the same faces that you saw in the initial, you know, collaborative meetings, like the coalition meetings, and I think that is very empowering, and that is also a significant outcome. These are a list of some of the successes: the capacity building, the increase of the communities around different issues around cancer prevention, coordinated referrals, the empowerment of the community, because now the community knows they can. And so we have addressed different issues. One issue that we recently addressed was the Affordable Care Act. And now it's open enrollment again, and it has been a flag that we have, you know, carried. We were awarded some financial support from the federal government, and what we did is we shared it with all our other partners, and together we reached 9,000. So from a grant that we got to fund two people at our clinic, we reached 9,500 people, and we enrolled about 4,400, and out of those, about, you know, almost 3,000 got insurance. And that is, for an organization our size and for the power of two people, is a lot. And we've been awarded different prizes for that. But that just speaks to the power of the collaboration and what you can do with your partners, and what you can accomplish by sharing, you know, what you think are very small resources and really exponentially, you know, magnifying your output. So this is the African proverb I was talking about, and I think that's my message overall, is that collaboration is really hard. We can't do it alone, and you really have to count every single and teach your community just to be strong. So if you are the leader in your community, definitely, you know, step up and bring other people to the table that will compete with you in a very constructive way. Thank you.